The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, it's critical of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our studies this morning in the doctrine of the United States in prophecy. We are at Roman numeral, I'll get this right, 16, page 5 of our notes. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have two potential rulers over the real you. God the Holy Spirit, who indwelled and filled the believer upon saving faith, or our sin nature. What determines who has the position of rulership is dependent upon sin in the life by the person, which puts us under rulership of the sin nature, in a state of carnality, if you will. What regains our state of spirituality or the filling of God the Holy Spirit is through the application of 1 John 1:9, which we refer to as the rebound technique, where in our prayer of confession, homologeo in the Greek means name, sight, or acknowledge. To confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This verse is written to believers and for believers. That is so that we can fulfill the imperative to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. The indwelling, we're never commanded to be indwelt. That's a given. That's an assumption. The eternal consequence in existence in that regard, that we are commanded to be filled. If we're commanded to be filled with God the Holy Spirit, we're given the mechanics to do so. God doesn't expect us to do something without the knowledge to do it. And it is 1 John 1:9 that allows the believer priest to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. When we do so, our sin nature, our flesh, if you will, is put in its case, so to speak. God the Holy Spirit is in position to direct us, guide us into all truth. We are in a position of spirituality so that we can serve God in action with honor. And it is only in this way that we can truly assimilate the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature. Paul makes it very clear our flesh is antagonistic to the truth. You've got to overrule it. You do so with your own free will. That is determined to make sure that you're in fellowship as we study God's Word once again this morning. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, though every man be a liar, your word stands forever. We thank you for your veracity, your absolute truth, that you are immune to lying, and hence your fidelity to the truth, your immutability of being the same yesterday, today, and forever guarantees for us that every aspect of your word, every iota of it, will be fulfilled in regards to human history, both in time as well as eternity. We ask that you bless us once again this morning as we seek to know your revelation of your plan for mankind in this respect, in the area of concern for us today, and all this via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Continuing on here in the doctrine of the United States and prophecy. The Bible reveals that there is a prophetic Babylon that exists in the last days, particularly in the day of the Lord, which is technical and describing, if you will, the tribulational period, the period of human history, the era of 7 years, that occurs at the close of the church age dispensation. This prophetic Babylon has two arms, of which it is described in the book of Revelation. The Babylon we are dealing with looks at its political or economic arm. And hence, this Babylon is a major player of national entity that has obviously global influence, having also, as we have seen in the doctrine, the spiritual characterizations of the nation of Edom. Edom is the name given to Esau based on his rejection of the covenant blessings as he traded it for a bowl of red lentil stew, as we noted in the book of Genesis. The grace of God's blessing, of covenant blessings, was laid at his feet. He had the rights to that blessing as the firstborn, the rights of what's called primogeniture. He rejected that blessing. He came to despise it, and he traded it for a plate of food. And it shows his true attitude in rejection and hostility in regard to God's plan. And this particular aspect in regards to Edom characterizes this national entity that exists in the last days of prophetic Babylon as having a great spiritual heritage, if you will, a Christian heritage, that the nation comes to despise and reject over time. And as it is in regards to Esau, God hates Edom, hates Esau. He hates this prophetic Babylon, this national Babylon at the end of the days, and decrees them for destruction, as Revelation 18 tells us, in 1 hour of one day. And as we go through and dissect all of the doctrine in and of itself, it becomes pretty apparent that there is not another nation that exists on this planet at this point in time in history other than that checks all the boxes that describes this prophetic Babylon, every aspect of it, other than our very own country, the United States of America. As we have seen, the destruction will come about where God employs and places in the minds of a northern enemy, which is none other than the bear, as symbolized in the book of Daniel, along with the symbol of the lion with eagle's wings, which wings are plucked permanently from the lion, noting our mother nation, England, who is symbolized by a lion. Obviously, our symbol is the eagle. No big guess there. The bear is none other than Russia with her allies, which they will place upon us in a surprise attack, a nuclear holocaust upon our country. The destruction is so complete that we are annihilated as a geography on this planet, never to be inhabited by men again. So it is obviously an expression of God's wrath that is not superseded by any other nation other than one other entity that is described in the Bible, and that is the similarities in regards to Sodom and Gomorrah, whom God destroys based on their homosexual vice that they clung to. Anyone who otherwise studies the scriptures in regards to destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and places God's wrath for any other area and reasoning are simply blind to what the obvious language says. When you have two angelic messengers going to Lot, who are male, to appear at Lot's house, and it describes the males of the city, young and old, trying to beat down the door, wanting to have sexual relations with this man, and that is truly the only vice that is described of evil in regard to Sodom and Gomorrah, what else are you to conclude? Homosexuality is abnormal. nature itself teaches against this sexual vice. Our country has, over the last couple or three decades, predominantly sought to not only embrace it but legalize it and seek to exalt it at the same level as a heterosexual marriage, the proper marriage of the divine institution of marriage between man and woman. So that is only one aspect in regards to the evil that the country involves itself as it abandons its Christian heritage. That Christian heritage is strongly under attack today. And it has been under attack, obviously, by nefarious types throughout our history to a certain degree. But in such an open way, is becoming very obvious in regards to the anti-Christian attitude that is being propelled by the fascist, socialist, communist types of people who are seeking to dismantle our system of life as we have otherwise enjoyed over the past couple of centuries plus. And this is all a marquee in regards to just how far in depth we have come to date to leaving, if you will, the standards of Christianity as rule and thumb for the function and operation of our government of the United States. And the fact is that the literal destruction of the United States does not occur until 3 years, 1 month into the period of the tribulation, of which is preceded by, as the key event to take us into the tribulation, the rapture of the church. You think that spiritual dereliction and antinomianism is prevalent now. Wait until all believers are removed from the planet and obviously from our society, and what do you have left other than the ideology, satanic demonism and paganism that will be pursued by the remaining society of unbelievers after that fact. So there it is. What are you going to do about it? To understand and know this, to know that God has decreed this judgment for us, His design, obviously, while it brings to us lupe or sorrow in watching all the events unfold that takes us down this spiritual spiral to the depths of depravity, where, as the Bible says, eventually every unclean bird will settle in this country, is designed to keep us oriented so that we don't fall into the confusion that otherwise around us by not only simply unbelievers and people of the world, but even of Christians who do not understand and recognize this particular prophecy. Prophecy is designed to keep the believer oriented in regards to the time in which they live. Roman numeral 16 now, moving on here with our notes. Obviously, this is not a light doctrine. Several pages to it. A lot of documentation has gone into it to dissect the doctrine and to validate and evidence the stand which our interpretation makes in this regard. And we are here continuing to dissect it under Roman numeral 16, where we look at specific categories that are said to be destroyed in this nuclear holocaust that will occur. This is a nuclear attack that will be unprecedented otherwise in history. The judgment is by fire. That fire is nuclear fire. Faces a flame, as language so describes people when this occurs. It will be an onslaught of nuclear missiles that will essentially blanket our continent, of the United States, our boundaries, which no one will escape the catastrophic death results in regards to it. So we're dealing with specific categories that will be destroyed. There will not be those who are immune to this attack that are otherwise still resident in regards to our country. Obviously, we've already seen verses where angelic hosts are going to give warnings in regards to the people leaving the country, etc. This will not be always easy. Obviously, we see this global program that's going on now, placing laws, restricting travel, and things of this nature. So, you know, that's where obviously you want to be in tune to become a believer during this time, to know the doctrine, to look to God to help these people, for them to help them be able to go back to Israel or other country from which they came, as language so declares. But those who remain, people will not be immune. It doesn't make any difference who you are, your age, etc. So young men is in the category. That's point A, Isaiah 13:18. My notes up on the screen for you. Been in the habit of doing it the other way for so many years that this is kind of new for me. So if I forget to do that on occasion, it's a good thing I give you notes. So, but anyway, Isaiah 13:18, in regards to needs here in this particular passage, reflect. In the near prophecy, there's certain aspects of interpretation people are not aware of often, believers, that there are dual prophecies in the Scripture, where prophecies not only reflect upon near fulfillment, but there is language that shows that there is a far fulfillment or a future fulfillment, because things are described to the entity that is otherwise not true to the historical event. Otherwise, we would know and recognize in our history in regards to these things. Here, Medes refer to the Medo-Persian Empire that came in and overthrew Babylon. That was initiated under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar the long name guy, I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, they overthrow them. They are enemies from the north. They become code in regards to the bear in the last days, and that is none other than Russia. I'm going to stir up the Medes against them. He will not value silver, take pleasure in gold. Whereas that is our whole pursuit in life, if you will, in general, describing our country, pursuit of wealth. And verse 18, and their bows will mow down the young men. The bows are the missile launchers. A bow, obviously, is designed to launch an arrow. So the prophet is having a vision. And he sees these particular events occur. And he sees the missiles in the vision as it might literally be displayed today under modern technology. But he only has the wherewithal to describe it under the terms of technology that he understood at that point in time. So the missiles would look to him like arrows, flaming arrows going through the air. And the bows are their launchers. This is how he describes it in the language at the time in which he lived. And they will not even have compassion on the fruit of the womb. It will mow down the young men. That's particular for our verse. The young men, the young males, the studs of society. You know, all their strength, all their vigor, and whatever else they have is not going to be sufficient to save them. Then, continued on, they will not even have compassion on the fruit of the womb, nor will their eye pity children, which is part of our next point, point B, babies and children. Also Jeremiah 50, 27 and 30. Put all her young bulls to the sword. Let them go down to the slaughter. The young bull looking to the adolescent. Bulls symbolize power here as it personifies the male species. The young bull filling his oats, so to speak, seeking to mature. And they will go down. They will be destroyed. Woe be upon them, for their day has come, the time of their punishment. And this fairly apropos, recognizing, if you will, not to classify everybody. You don't do that. That's prejudice. But to recognize that we are looking at the particular generation that takes our country into its ultimate demise in spiritual corruption. The rebels of the time, things of that nature. And for all of their efforts, God will overrule them with His overruling will. Verse 30. Therefore her young men will fall in her streets, and all her men of war will be silenced in that day, declares the Lord. The military is not going to be of any assistance in defending against this attack. Our defense system will be neutralized. And at the same instance, the onslaught will come, and there will not be a damn thing anybody can do about it. It will reach its ultimate conclusion. You have see the diplomatic corps, the politicians. Maybe that's why the people in the heavens are told to rejoice. Who knows? But anyway. Isaiah 47, 13 and 14. Not all politicians are bad. Again, this is prophetic Babylon, this in view. Verse 1, verse 13. You are wearied with your many councils, the constant meetings, committees, etc., that goes on within our frame of government. Dealing with our own society, foreign affairs, all of those who are in positions of power to make decisions. You are wearied with your many counsels. It's nothing but talk, 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 generally speaking. Let now the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moon, stand up to save you from what will come upon you. Verse 14, behold, they have become like stubble. Fire burns them. Fire from the nuclear explosions. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There will be no coal to warm by the nuclear winter that will follow, nor a fire to sit before. Again, what restraints we can enjoy under God's grace via God the Holy Spirit to take us through the remainder of the church age. And what rebound we may even have to a certain degree from the consequences of things that are going on. Understand, when we're out of here, it will be free reign in regards to the unbelievers left to take this country down the path of their agenda. D, our agriculture will be completely annihilated, wiped out. Jeremiah 50, verse 16, will become like a desert land. All domestic animals, along with the humans, will be destroyed. Yes, all their little pet dogs and cats and pigs or whatever else they got for pets. Only wild animals will eventually repopulate that can survive in this wilderness wasteland that we will become. Not unlike the Dead Sea area of Sodom and Gomorrah today, as a warning given to people. Yeah, God has grace. Grace always precedes judgment. But after a while, grace ends and judgment begins. If people don't pull in their horns, so to speak, etc. You may say, well, there's other countries out there that are evil and maybe even more pagan than our own. Yeah, but there's a lot of other doctrine you don't understand. Like the doctrine of culpability. Like the doctrine of the fact that we have Christian virtues and values been established for our government being thrown out of the window today. They'll pound everybody, pat them on the back for protesting and rioting and turn a blind eye. And the media will be all over that and spread that across the news. One church gets harassed by the same types of people, and you hardly ever hear about that. See, people getting assaulted, etc. Like I brought out this last week in Troy, New York. And they're not the only ones. But anyway, it's easy to get under righteous indignation when you think about this stuff. Jeremiah 50, verse 16. Cut off the sower from Babylon. Those who are in charge of planting the seed, if you will, the sower. Farmers, agriculture. It's mostly corporate now. That's part of our problem, is money and greed and the monopolistic events of industry as they have come about. You say, well, looks like the law is always there to try to break up the singular monopolies. But you don't understand, a lot of these people go in partnership with one another. And they create monopoly of several divisions of entities, like the auto industry. Again, that's a pretty easy one to recognize over history. To make sure they keep everybody else out that they don't want involved. And so it is in the agricultural field. Like I said, there's only like four places that process meat that's been approved by the FDA in the United States. You want to know why you have a meat shortage? They shut down one plant. Well, there's a quarter of it right there. See? And your used to be 15 cents McDonald's hamburger. Obviously, that ages me. Your $1.50 McDonald's hamburger now is probably going to be about $5. Of course, they can always inject it with all their, trash they like to put into their food. Probably all the plastic bags that you turn in from the grocery store, they melt it down and they'll put it in your meat for you. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Sure tastes good, though. But anyway, Jeremiah 50, verse 16. Cut off the sower from Babylon and the one who wields the sickle at the time of harvest. They'll be mowed down along with the rest of them from before the sword of the oppressor. They will each turn back to his own people. They will each flee to his own land. That is one's salvation in time at this point in time in history. In Jeremiah 51, verse 23, and with you I shattered the shepherd and his flock, the ranchers, etc. And with you I shatter the farmer and his team. And with you I shatter governors and prefects. Another reference to the diplomatic corps. So that brings us to point E, bureaucrats and the academic world. We live in an age of mass information. We live in a world of much false information. There is false science. There's true science. There's false medicine. There's good medicine. How do you know the difference? Well, first and foremost, I would recommend you get in fellowship and pray about things. The second of all, we have one thing that we can take to the bank being guaranteed as being truth, and that is the Scriptures. God will not lie to us. And He's not going to change His mind in midstream. And through the Scriptures, you can come to perception and understanding and generally figure out truly what's lying and what's not in regards to this world. We know through New Testament prophecy that the false doctrine of uniformitarianism, which is evolution, will be prevalent in the last days. It will dominate the science scene in regards to the last days, rejecting the Creator, rejecting the catastrophic cataclysm that occurred on this planet under the Noahic flood scenario. And through that, we can also figure out and counter other false things that are thrown at us. So that's what we stick to. Beyond that, you know, it's just a matter of argument. Bureaucrats and academic world, Jeremiah 50, verse 35. May the violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. The inhabitant of Zion will say, and may my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Chaldea looks at the predominant Anglo-Saxon society that inhabits Babylon. So all these didn't make any difference where you're at, what position, what authority you may have, how smart you may be, how many titles you got behind your name, and the height of position one may arise to. Nobody will be spared. And probably the greatest catastrophe in regard to all this is that all these people, as smart as they are blind to the realities of what's going to happen. It comes unexpected. People are blind. When you let your SCA run your life, you are blind to the actual spiritual realities that are governing life. Understand, spiritual realities existed far before physical realities ever came into being. Spiritual realities governs all aspects of physical life. People's volition, their freedom of choice, their spiritual demeanor, their attitude towards God, good or bad. All these things determine the human race, the paths they go down, and the consequences of human history. Even the clergy will not be spared. We use clergy probably a little loosely on this regards. With believers gone, this would dilute the religious facets to Roman Catholicism, other advances that do not embrace true Christian faith, etc. And there are those who wave the Christian banner that are not believers. You got to understand that. Satan is an angel of light. He uses doctrine to confuse people. He misrepresents it. Verse 36, behold, therefore thus says the Lord, after verse 35 we just read, behold, I'm going to plead your case and exact full vengeance for you. And I will dry up her sea. I'm in the wrong chapter. Hang on. Okay, let me reread 35 for you. If you're confused, join the crowd. A lot of verses, man. My mind's only so big, and I can only keep so much up there. I know so much that I can only spare a little room to keep on going where I'm at. So, you know. Somebody said that once. I thought it was funny. A sword against the Chaldeans, verse 35, declares the Lord, and against the inhabitants of Babylon, and against her officials and her wise men. Okay, there's the bureaucrats in the academic world. And then verse 36, a sword against the oracle priests, and they will become fools. A sword against her mighty men, and they will be shattered. So that brings in the military. That's point G. Also verse 30. Therefore, her young men will fall in streets, and all her men of war will be silenced in that day. As fantastic as our technology may be in regard to our military prowess and might, all these things will become worthless. About the only thing that will escape the catastrophe are those who may be in the Air Force that are flying somewhere or in another country at that point in time. Well, we do know that there is some residue of aeronautics left from the United States to assist Israel in a time of need after the fact. So you have to put all these things together to figure out what's going on. H, foreign visitors. Visitors, foreign nationals will wish that our borders had been shut against them if they came over at this point in time to visit. That's verse 37, Jeremiah 50. Sword against their horses, against their chariots, again, military transportation hubs, things of that nature, against all the foreigners who are in the midst of her, and they will become women. A sword against her treasures, and they will be plundered. All their investments, other verses we've read in regards to foreign investors who essentially become our creditors, buying up investments that the American citizen suffer economically and give all the prosperity to foreign investors. That's U.S. wealth, verse 37 again, we just read. The treasures, and they will be plundered. Transportation, verse 37. Old men along with the young men, youth, adolescents, women. Again, no one spared. Jeremiah 51:22. With you I shatter the chariot and its rider, and with you I shatter man and women. man and woman. And with you I shatter old man and youth. And with you I shatter young men, young man and virgin. Politicians kind of got that in there twice. Supposed to get double measure, so why not? Follow along with me on the doctrine here. We get a double discipline because of our culpability and despising of Christian values. Wrath in double measure. Of course, the politicians are easy targets as they are making the decisions. But at this point in time in history, don't expect the citizenry to stand up and make any big changes in regards to what's going on. 51:23, shattered governors and prefects. We read that earlier. And the president, as we saw, he will be in shock. He'll be worthless as you know what on a boar hog. Jeremiah 50, verse 43. The king of Babylon has heard the report about them. King representing the leader for us. That's obviously a president. And his hands hang limp. Distress has gripped him. Agony like a woman in childbirth. In the businessmen of society, Revelation 18:22, New Testament. And again, to explain, if you've not ever heard the doctrine of prophetic Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18, much of the confusion is that you're dealing with the same Babylon in those two chapters. No, you're not. Chapter 17 is religious Babylon. Religious Babylon is none other than Roman Catholicism. Chapter 18 it says, and after these things, that shows you we're in a different, it's a different entity. That's your political Babylon. We've been through the book of Revelation and we explained all that in detail. 18:22, which we'll cover a couple of points here. The sound of the harpists and the musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer, and no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. Industry will be completely wiped out. The sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. So that addresses that 0.0 in regards to commerce. You can compare, that's compared to Jeremiah 51:36. Therefore, thus says the Lord of Israel, I'm going to plead your case and exact full vengeance for you. I shall dry up her sea, make her fountain dry. That refers to both export and domestic commerce that goes on in regards to our industries. Social life. Won't have to worry about catching anything after this one. Don't you just love to see splattered across the news and media, people had a COVID party and somebody got sick. Since when has that become news? Since when has one person becoming sick become great news in our country? I know I hear them raising hell about all of the elder people that were forced to live with the sick in confined quarters. And the police state is upon these institutions and will not even allow their own loved ones and relatives to come in and be with them when they're dying. If this isn't Gestapo, what is it? Again, righteous indignation is so easy. Isaiah 21:5. Get to the book here. They set the table, they spread out the cloth, they eat, they drink, rise up captains. Royal shields. That is in regards to Babylon, life going on. That's part of the functions and actions going on in society that will be wiped out. People will just be going on living life like usual, their social life, with whatever constraints and restraints are being imposed upon them. The entertainment world, we saw that, Revelation 18:22. There is no other country known predominantly for entertainment in the musical and theatrical world. I mean, Britain, England has a certain degree of it, but still, even those people only make it big when they appear in our country. So, if you want to go to Las Vegas, do it quick. If you want to go gamble in that environment, or the environment itself, that's Isaiah 14:23. I will also make it a possession for the hedgehog and swamps of water. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, declares the Lord of armies. That's in regards to Babylon, verse 22. And then again, all military armaments, that's point S. That's Jeremiah 51:56. Her mighty men will be captured, 56, verse B. Their bows are shattered. What capabilities they have in regards to any retaliation are going to be neutralized. That being our own missile launchers, etc. For the Lord is a God of recompense. He will fully repay. All right, Roman numeral 17. This point deals with further details in regard to the fifth cycle to the United States. The book of Exodus, utilizing Israel as an example, essentially describes five cycles of national discipline that God brings upon nations in response to their evil, spiritual dereliction, etc. The cycles of discipline start off, they begin more or less light, but then it becomes more or less repetitive, and the consequences become heavier as you go along. It starts directly affecting people's health, our agriculture, your economy, your military. All these things become affected as God jams the countries. It's designed to be a spiritual wake-up call for those who will not give heed, and Israel came into this capacity eventually, but not give heed to these wake-up calls. God promised that He would kick them out of the land. He will disperse the people. Our reputation as a country, a national entity, probably most prevalent since World War II, has been on a continual downside since then. Even World War II has its nefarious interactions of people involved in our country with Nazi Germany, etc. You know, industries like Ford, which that's no big secret. But either way, our success militarily has become spotted. We used to be the nation that everyone looked to, and still is to a certain degree. And people want to live here. It still is to a certain degree. But over time, we have turned the stomachs of many. And they despise us and they hate us because of our meddling and things of this nature. And throughout this, God has given us wake-up calls. The weather, earthquakes, things of this nature, all these things are designed to get people's attention, hopefully to make adjustments to avoid God having to unload with national discipline any longer. But we will not. That's the sad news I have to give in teaching this particular doctrine. We will not have that spiritual wake-up call. Now, there's Christians out there, and they are not aware of this doctrine, or they reject it. And they'll think, and they'll try to make it seem like there's going to be some great revival that goes on in this country, that we can pray it back into spiritual health. It won't on this occasion. And I'm not diminishing prayers or anything of that nature. It's just, that's the reality. Again, see, this is what keeps you balanced, so you don't get off under these emotional pendulums that many Christians and fundies ride on in regards to their life, because they lack the knowledge. So, first and foremost, the destruction of the United States will occur after the rapture. After the rapture. Which I may go ahead and review that after we do this doctrine. I mean, they pretty much go hand in hand. I still haven't decided for sure. And as we've dated it, it's in the third year, first month of the tribulation. We came about through that date through our study of the book of Revelation. Jeremiah 51, 45 and 46. People are given warning to come out, come forth from our midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. Now, unless your heart grow faint, you be afraid of the report that will be heard in the land. For the report will come 1 year, and after that, another report in another year. And violence will be in the land with ruler against ruler. So the language represents essentially 3 years. That warning will come about, and that occurs after the rapture. Here, as it relates to near prophecy, I have in my notes the first year here that's been dealt with in the report is the rumor of Cyrus coming to Babylon. Second year is a true report, but he stopped short. In the third year, then he comes in and he conquers. So that basically jives with our dating in the book of Revelation, third year, first month, in that regards. All right, we're going to stop here, take our break, and this is the Sunday that we observe the Lord's table, because we seek to be obedient to our governing authorities. We've changed up the way we do the elements, etc., for communion. We're going to have communion the first part of next session, right after our break. The board, the deacons will have the elements, the bread and the cup, sitting out in the hallway for you to pick up. And when you come in from break, bring the bread and cup with you so that you're the only one that handles your food items, so that nobody else has to do that. And when we resume, then we'll go ahead and we'll observe the Lord's table at that point in time. And then after that, we'll finish up with our regular second session. All right, take our break.